RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Calcaterra in motion. Hurts, fakes, rolls, throws. Touchdown! He's got Goddard for his 11th touchdown of the season.
Well, it turned out to be the only touchdown of the day for the Eagles, and one of only three in the game. The rare game where the other team scores more touchdowns than you do, but you win. The blocked extra point was huge, and then Josh Allen obviously missing that dude at the end on the two-point conversion. Massive as well. It was a big win. By the way, John, I was glad to hear in Devin's update there that Cooper DeJean still has the power of speech. After getting hit in the nether region, I didn't know...
Yeah, it's pretty plain.
Oh, man. I was going to ask him about that post-game, but, you know, opted not to.
And the women in the Delaware Valley rejoice. He's okay. Oh, God. All right, 215-592-9494. You could tell he was affected there. Let's get to the Gotta Doran window to the weekend. Take advantage of Gotta Doran Window's big winter sale. Through the month of January, receive 40% off all windows and doors. Call 1-877-GO-GOTTA. Or visit goguida.com. Look, we're heavy on the Eagles today for obvious reasons. Couple other quick things. The Bryce t-shirt is going to be a thing. Already has been a thing. Mm-hmm. Devin, what do you make of not elite Bryce Harper in the batting cage?
So hear me out. I mean, it's working. Like, if they wanted that whole thing to motivate him to go out there, like Rob Thomson said in his postseason press conference, it was right after Dave's. He said, you know, I hope that this inspires Bryce. By this, he meant like the season, not Dave's comments. Mm-hmm. But I hope it inspires Bryce to go out and have the best season of his career next year. And I think he's the type of guy who can thrive off of, you know, I don't want to say negativity, but maybe people underestimating him or counting him out. So I like it. Like, I have no problem with it. I think as long as it's getting him out there and working on, it looked like he was in the cages or practicing something in that clip with the t-shirt, then I'm fine with it.
Well, look, I like where you're coming from in that I hope you're right. My first impression was that jerk move. But there's also the argument that it's a motivational tool for himself.
Yeah.
So none of us can prove which it is. My initial impression was jerk move, but John, maybe it's a sign that Dombrowski got under his skin in a good way. I mean, part of what Bill Parcells would do was try to get under his player's skin in a good way. So I don't know. I guess time will tell. What was your first impression, John?
My first impression was, wow, is he more motivated than usual to be out in the batting cages at this stage of the offseason?
Well, I think he always does that. My first impression was, is he more petulant than we know?
Oh.
Well, I don't know. I mean,
that's a good question, too. That's a good question. I mean, I like the fact that the guy has something that's motivating him, very clearly motivating him, if he's going out and getting a t-shirt made based on the comment. So, hey, maybe there's some friction in the building, but maybe that's a good thing right now.
Maybe.
And it's sort of a bit of a challenge for everyone involved.
Yeah.
And everyone, you'll get the best version of everyone involved.
Right. I certainly
think these guys are pros at that level where that could very clearly and very, very likely be a result here.
Yeah. Look,
this could be the year, man.
Okay. We'll see.
All right. Let's reel it in. That's going a little too far.
The other thing from the weekend, I think, of note was the way the NFL games went yesterday. Look, a lot could have been really boring week 18, But because of the way all sorts of games ended, the NFL has an incredible Week 18 on the horizon. So let me just give you a taste
of unbelievable.
Yeah, let me give you a taste of what's up ahead for this upcoming weekend. Saturday it starts at 4:30. Look, Panthers and Bucks both lost yesterday, so neither won the division.
Yeah.
So Saturday at 4:30, you get
this
game
for the division.
Yeah, that's like sacrificial lamb for whoever's going to lose then in the first round of the playoffs. But one of them makes the playoffs. Panthers, Bucks. Then Saturday night you get Seahawks, 49ers. The key there is the one seed is still totally on the line in the NFC. So Seahawks, 49ers there. Then you have Sunday at 1, the bum games. The games where teams aren't going to make the playoffs or can't change positioning. The only one that's going to make the playoffs of the 1 o'clock games are the Packers, who we already know locked in as the 7 seed. They have nothing to play for. So they're not going to play their starters. Then you get the 4 o'clock games where it gets great. And that, of course, includes the Eagles game. Now, the Eagles, I think, probably will not play their starters. But there's other games to keep your eye on, including the Cardinals and the Rams, the implication there. And, of course, the Lions and Bears. And then what you get Sunday night is the Ravens and Steelers. It feels like for the 5,000th time, those two teams playing for the division on the line.
Yeah.
So that's it. I mean, it's pretty good for the NFL. And, of course, one of the big keys was Pittsburgh losing to Cleveland. That was a big key to kind of set a lot of that in motion. 215-592-9494. Let's listen to Jalen Hurts after the game on the offense. First half on the offense. Second half, it was certainly a tale of two halves. Here's what Jalen said.
What do you make of the disparity offensively from the first half to second
half? I think we got into a good rhythm and good groove. We're able to move the ball down the field in the first half. And in the second half, there are a lot of things that I have to watch the tape on to be able to pinpoint. Obviously, maintaining aggression is one thing, and maintaining rhythmic ball play than just going out there and executing ultimately. So you always look yourselves in the mirror with that.
The old rhythmic ball play. Let's go to the phones. 215-592. I call it just playing better. You got to play better. And that is all aspects of the Eagles offense, run game, pass game. I mean, both aspects are below average. 215-592-9494.
I thought it was interesting that Cam Jurgens is the only offensive lineman who made the Pro Bowl.
Well, it was ridiculous.
Cam Jurgens.
It was ridiculous.
Think about that.
It was a horrible vote.
Last year.
And I love Cam. He's been hurt all year. Should not have made the Pro Bowl. Ridiculous.
Well, last year it was like everyone. The entire offensive line made it. This year, just Cam made it. That says something.
It says ridiculous voting. And again, no offense meant to Cam in that I like him. He's been a good Eagle. I think the guy's back and whatever else is. Look, I don't think Cam Jurgens forgot how to block. Okay, he was a good player the last couple of years. This year he's been, in my opinion, a below-average player. I think injury has affected him. You obviously hope that he can try to clean that up as soon as possible, if not this year, for future years. But he should not have made the Pro Bowl. And again, I'm a fan of the guy. He should not have made the Pro Bowl. Let's go to the phones. Derek and Paoli. Derek, good morning.
Good morning. Happy New Year to y'all.
Happy New Year, man.
Happy New Year,
listen,
Derek.
Happy New Year.
I got a couple quick points, right? The Eagles' offense, to me, in the second half, was as conservative as James was jumping through that table yesterday. Did you see that video?
Dude, that was an embarrassment by
Seltzer. So bad.
That was
so
really
bad.
I was embarrassed. As a member of this show, I was embarrassed that was Seltzer's. I mean, that was horrible.
It looked like he didn't fully commit or follow through on it.
Four letters. F-E-A-R. Fear. That was a disgrace.
Yeah. You gotta fully commit.
He didn't. You could tell, like, midair, you could see it. Just he was like, I don't know middle, if this man. Is a good idea.
Listen, with the defense, though, I think the defense played a lot better than we give them credit, because the Bills had a lot of, like, plays that were, like, to me, were kind of fluky. Like, they had some fluky catches. I think their best play was the hook and ladder. That was their best executed play that they ran, that they actually drew up. The other plays, like the pass interference, like that was kind of chippy. That Brandon Crooks had a big catch that could have won either way.
Derek, I thought the refs stunk, by the way.
Yeah, they were. I think we were just a little bit too conservative. Like, and Jalen, he's got to play better. But we didn't have the ball a lot. We had the ball on the half-inch line for one of the drives. Like, they didn't even try to move the ball. You know what I'm saying? But real quick with the Bryce Harper T-shirt, right? I wasn't calling for that, but you brought it up. I saw it. Like, when he – I think Bryce Harper's kind of petty for that, right? Because that could come back to bite him. If he comes out next year and he plays mediocre, like, wear that T-shirt again. You know what I'm saying? Like, he just he's too good of a player to feed into that kind of stuff, especially at this stage of his career. Like, if you need something like that to motivate you, you know what I'm saying, and then put it on social media – I'm just not hyped up about seeing that. Like, if you
well, I didn't love it, but Dombrowski
wrong.
I didn't
go out and dominate. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? A T-shirt doesn't get me excited about like him getting back to being, you know, so-called elite. You know?
No, I hear you, man.
But Joe, I would. I think our starters can beat, our backups can beat the Commanders' backups, but it's tricky. Our offense needs some reps. You know what I'm saying?
I believe me, I do know what you're saying.
See what
happens. All right, Derek, good call. Have a good new year, buddy.
My man.
Stay well, man. Let's listen to Sirianni in the locker room. Right after that game ends, he addresses the dudes in the locker room. And they're pretty fired up, and rightfully so. Big focus on the defense, couple other players. Let's listen to Nick.
Going on the road in the NFL and winning a game like this, that's hard to do. That's a heavyweight bout. It's a good football team. Defense. Wow. Right? And then it comes down to one play at the end. Guys, the way you guys pursued to the football and played with relentless effort was awesome. Hey, a couple things. We had Jake, the second Eagle to go over 1,000 points. Good job, dude. Dallas got her new touchdown record for tight end. AJ Brown, the first Eagle to go over 1,000 yards 4 years in a row. And defense, relentless effort, 5 sacks. Let's f-ing go.
There he is, Sirianni yesterday. Pretty cool stuff. I mean, the defense was incredible. That's a good accomplishment for Jake Elliott, by the way, 1,000 points. I hadn't realized that till I heard that audio. By the way, speaking of, because he referenced Goddard in the touchdowns, Eagles TD record for a tight end. If you missed it yesterday, the Cardinals tight end passed Zach Ertz for single season tight end reception record, which Zach had previously held it. Lewis, was it 116, something like that?
I don't remember the exact number. It was a lot. I mean,
it was a lot.
Ertz had a lot of touchdowns. Trey McBride is a beast,
it
though.
It was 110 plus. It was 110, 116.
Because that was the year Carson would only pass to Zach Ertz. Remember that?
Yeah.
115.
I remember that.
And Trey McBride is a beast over there in Arizona. He really is. So that's an accomplishment.
So they got one player.
They do
stink. There are some teams. I mean, guys, the Jets.
Oh, my gosh. I saw it was on at the Bills Stadium, and I turn and I look at the score of the Patriots-Jets game, and it was at the tie. I don't even know what the final score ended up being. It was like 40-something to 3.
Yeah.
I mean, we have our complaints here, but.
Well, tell me if this is accurate. With, like, the Bills lose, so Josh Allen's not going to be a one seed, obviously. Mm. Matt Jones won the MVP yesterday, right?
Did he?
Well, you tell me. I mean, who's the MVP?
Wait, Mac Jones. Who does
Mac Jones? Not Mac Drake Jones. May. I'm saying the old quarterback, Drake May. My fault.
Oh, May. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, sorry.
I think he probably should.
Then yes. Drake May, yes. Jones, no.
Because it feels like all the typical quarterbacks.
Mac Jones did a nice job for the 49ers, though. He really did. I mean, he filled in for a bunch of games for Brock Purdy this year, and they didn't really miss a beat.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm getting my 24-year-old 49er random. This one worked out better than that Mac Jones guy that got Belichick fired. All right, 215, but he picked him. 215-592-9494.
Did you see the masterful play imagination out there on the field last night?
Which
in that
game?
Offensive game between the 49ers.
It's what they do.
It was amazing. It's you know, just unique looks all over the place, and different ways of running the football, and motions every which way. These are things that we don't get to see much in our offense.
That's right.
I wonder why that is.
Oh, I don't. Oh, I know why it is. It's kind of. Lewis, you catch my drift there?
I think so.
Yeah. Let's go to Omar right now, West Philly. Omar.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? How y'all doing, man?
Hey, buddy.
Hi, Omar.
Hey, man, I'm excited, man. I really am, man. It was a whole complete and total, like, team win, man. Like, that's what I wanted to see. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, a complete and total defensive team win, yes.
No.
Now, look. It was a great win by the Philadelphia Eagles, but the offense is a concern as they approach the playoffs, obviously.
Think about it, right? You're playing against the refs, right? You got the bad weather, right? And if the way how they played in the first half was in the second half, it'd be a different story, right? It's just a tale of two halves. It's like, it's not like you got the great Josh Allen, like, well, you only put up 12 points. It's like, it just, that was just the type of game it was. It's just like, that's what it was.
Well, I would put it a little different way. I mean, Omar, you're right, but I would say this way. It's the type of team the Eagles are. It was another formula win. They win. This is how they win.
Right. So I agree with you. Right? I think at halftime, I think Petullo and all, I think they sat down and said, look, 13 points is going to get it. And that's it. I think they came out at halftime and said, look, 13 points is going to win us this game. Jalen, just don't make no mistakes.
I agree with you on the don't make mistakes part, but I disagree with you on like the 13 is definitely going to win it thing. I mean, Omar, let me put it this way. When they're running the ball, and they ran it a lot in the second half, I mean, Jalen had 7 passes. Of course, they didn't even have that many plays because they couldn't even get first downs. But like when they run it, they're not trying to 3-and-out and go to a punt. They are trying to get first downs. The 7 times that Jalen passed it, he is trying to complete it. So, you know, I think too much has been made of this, like, conservative thing. They were ineffective. That's what they were in the second half offensively, ineffective.
I agree, but listen, but they was running the same exact play how they was running. They was running in the first half, man. It's like they don't go back to the good plays that they had. It's like they had a couple good plays. And I tell you what, Petullo does not have a hook and ladder. They was waiting on that hook and ladder. They knew, look, this is the play we're going to get. I don't think we have a bread and butter play that we can go to. We don't have it. Now that's what we got to work on as a team.
Well, they got, yeah, look, Omar.
We need one.
Yeah. Omar, good call, buddy. They got a lot to work on, obviously, with the offense. There's no doubt. Let's listen to Nick Sirianni, whether to play the starters or not. We got 2 different Twitter poll questions of the day on this topic as the Eagles are now 6 days away from that game versus Washington. Twitter poll brought to us by Armin Chevrolet, wishing their employees, customers, and WIP listeners a happy and healthy new year. Together, let's drive to Armin Chevrolet. First poll question, should the Eagles play the starters Sunday versus Washington? And by the way, when we say the starters, I mean, we understand maybe one or two will play if, like, the starters are set. You know, I don't know, John, if they have 10 offensive linemen, if they have 9, Steen would play. You know, it's one of those things. So sometimes one or two starters have to play,
yes,
just from a body standpoint.
Yes.
But you know what I mean. I just want everyone listening to know, when I say the starters, I mean the bulk of the starters. So the first question, should the Eagles play the starters versus Washington? Second poll question, will the Eagles play the starters versus Washington? I would say they should not play them, and I would say they will not play them. Let's listen to Nick Sirianni when asked about this after the game yesterday. Here's something Sirianni said.
We'll see. We'll see what we do this upcoming week. You know, I think there's still an opportunity for us to get the 2 seed. But I thought it was really important that we played in this particular game. You know, fortunately, we got through this. I think I haven't talked to the doctors yet, but fortunately, we got through this with some, you know, I know there'll be some bumps and bruises, but we got through what we needed to get through, and you feel really good.
All right, so non-committal. Look, in a similar scenario last year, they sat the starters and won the game with the backup. I think that's what they'll try to do again. It's what I would do. And again, part of what moves me on this is I'm not convinced if Chicago is the 2 seed that they definitely beat the 7 seed. Now, John, that would be a Chicago Packers game because the Packers are locked in as the 7 seed. But, I mean, would I rather Micah Parsons be playing for the Packers in that game? Yeah.
I would rather.
But they could beat them. No,
I would much rather get that 2 seed and just, I know that you don't have a bye attached, but just the chances that you're going to host more games, like your chances of hosting are just increased. And the chances that we will play the Packers in the first round are increased too. I don't want to play teams that are from the far west.
Well, look,
you know, the Midwest, far west, leave them for the other teams to try to beat.
Look, there's really good arguments on that side. The argument I'll give you on this side, where I'm at, is I think the Eagles have the best chance to win the Super Bowl if they give their players 14 days off. Period. I mean, that's just where I'm at. I think you have the best chance to win the Super Bowl if you get a bye week here for all the starters, and then you rock and roll in the playoffs.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
On the road again, like a band of gypsies, we go down the highway. We're the best of friends, insisting that the world keep turning our way. And our way is on the road.
Are we on the road again, Hugh Douglas?
Just mad at you, Joe.
Why?
Told me we got work tomorrow.
Now, I don't make the rules around here, okay?
Who's we? You can't give me these many days off if they'd ask me to come back to work 2 days in a row.
All right, listen, can we get through today before you're worried about tomorrow? Welcome on in, everyone.
I'm a little sorry with you.
You'll be fine. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilley, we're both here. We're all here today. Kyle's here, Hugh's here, I'm here, and the Philadelphia Eagles are here with another 2025 Philadelphia Eagles victory. Holy moly, bite your nails to the very end. 13
hey, that's football. Listen.
To 12.
Y'all got them first world problems, man. Mm. This is what football used to be. I remember playing a game like this all the time way back in the 1995.
It felt like some 1990s football. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's react together to an Eagles win in Buffalo. You know, probably the best team that they've beaten in a while. You think about it, you know, the Packers season has kind of fallen off. They're going to be a 7 seed. The Lions missed the playoffs, eliminated. So you kind of go back through the schedule. The Buffalo Bills, even with the loss yesterday, have 11 wins. That's a good football team. What it's obviously a tremendous quarterback. And Hugh, there's a lot to unpack from the game. We will get to the offense, which once again did a no-show in the second half. But the story yesterday, Hugh, was the defense. What they did to Josh Allen and that offense to hold them to 12 points.
Pretty impressive.
Unbelievable. There's a lot of great football coaches. Currently, there's a lot of great football coaches that I've watched, you know, on both sides of the football in my almost 40 years as a fan. You know, there's not many. I mean, it's a small list of coaches that I would say are better coaches than Vic Fangio. That guy is incredible. Hugh, your reaction is the Eagles go to Buffalo and get out of there with a 1-point victory.
A win is a win.
There we go.
That's what I'm going
there
with.
We go.
But see, listen, this is the problem. Because I tried to tell you yesterday, and I've been trying to tell y'all all year long. Mm-hmm. 21 points. If you get 21 points, you got a shot. Now, 13 points yesterday was enough to get the job done. But we don't want to live like that. Like, because we're going to probably play some offenses that can score some points. You know, but the way that this defense is playing, man, and I mean, they're playing well. You know, especially those 2D tackles. And the way, you know, Jalen Carter came back, he had a phenomenal game. He blew that guard up.
Like, oh, my goodness.
That guard was a crash test dummy. Because it was almost like, when you slow it down, and this is when people, you know, you appreciate the D-line play. Because on impact, when you watch that guard's head buckle when he goes back and you just see Jalen just sprint through him, that was phenomenal. That was phenomenal to get that sack on Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. That was phenomenal to see. I loved it.
I mean, it was everyone yesterday. I thought Jalex Hunt was awesome. Cooper DeJean had a career high in tackles. Zach Bond stopping Josh Allen from getting in the end zone early in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I mean, it was everyone. They play this defense, for as great as they were last year, this almost feels even more impressive what Fangio's done with this group this year, because they lost all those guys. You know, they lost half that defense from last year. And to come back and have this kind of season and to do what they've done since the bye, outrageous. 215-592-9494. All right, Hugh, on the pregame show yesterday, before the game, I said that if they went to Buffalo and they won convincingly, it would convince us all. Now, they did half of that, right? They went to Buffalo.
They won convincingly.
Well, they didn't win convincingly.
They won.
Hugh, they didn't win convincingly.
See, I'm not.
But they didn't.
Yes, man.
I mean, come on, I mean, that's not true. They won by a point.
They won, though.
They didn't have a completion in the second half of the game.
How many times has Buffalo beat Jalen since he's been here? Josh Allen ain't beat us yet.
Yeah. No, he's 0 for 3.
Yeah.
One of those is against Wentz. Yeah. I mean, he's 2 against Jones.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. The bottom line is, yesterday when we had the pregame show, I said if they won convincingly, I think we'd all be convinced that they had turned a major corner. Again, they did half of that. They won.
They turned a corner.
All right. Can I put it this way?
Yes.
Hugh, yesterday, for as fun as it was, and it was a good win, and I'm glad they got it, and I think it helps them mentally as they move towards the postseason.
You're not happy.
No, I'm very happy. But yesterday doesn't change my opinion on their chances to win the Super Bowl. I have the same thought that I did before the game yesterday. The Eagles are clearly capable of winning the Super Bowl. They could do it. I will not be surprised if they get back to Santa Clara and go to the Super Bowl again, because this defense is that good. Vic Fangio is that good. And they usually have a half each game where their offense joins the party. But yesterday didn't change my opinion. Like, I don't feel any stronger that they're going. You know what yesterday was? Yesterday was the Bills game, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was the Chiefs game. It was the Bucks game.
Oh, so you're saying it was just a print and paste, what do they call it, cut and paste?
It's the same. We've seen this game nine. I've seen this Eagles game 9 times this season. I went through them this morning. The Chiefs, the Rams, the Bucks, the Chargers, the Cowboys, the Lions, the Packers, and now yesterday. You go through all the games this season that they've won like this, or they've played like this, right? They've won 6 of them. They've lost 3 of them. They're all the same game, into which the game comes down to a block kick. The game comes down to a block extra point. The game comes down to one final play. Sometimes the Eagles have made the play. Sometimes they haven't. Sometimes Dallas has. Like, it's been the same game 9 times. Yesterday was the exact same game as a lot of these other games. They were on the winning side. What I feel, Hugh, is they're good enough to win any game, but it's going to require 4 coin flips in the playoffs, because this is the way the Eagles play when they play good teams, right? Like, they could blow the Giants out.
Mm-hmm.
They could blow the Raiders out. They could blow the Commanders out. But when they play other good teams, like those teams I was throwing in there, the game looks like yesterday, which is very, very tight right down to the end. Hugh, did yesterday change your opinion on their chances to win the Super Bowl?
Yes, it did. I had an epiphany.
Why?
Yesterday.
What was the epiphany?
That I, I'm going to trigger some people with this one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's what I thought about. It's like, because there was a stat that was rolled out where I think Jalen Hurts is the first quarterback since, what, the 70s? How did that stat go?
1987,
where
I believe is the statistic.
It was like the lowest, what, scored in the second half or something like that? Because they didn't even score a first down the second half.
The final 14 first downs of the game Buffalo had.
Yeah.
Here it is, the 2025 Eagles. So I think this is what you're referencing. First team since the 1987 Patriots to win multiple games in a season in which they didn't complete a second half pass.
Yes.
Hurts is the first quarterback in the play-by-play era.
The play-by, yes.
Since 1978, right? So they started recording each play. To go 0-7 or worse multiple games in
a
season.
That's historic.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, making history.
That's
here.
A lot
yeah.
to digest. Yeah. That's a lot to spit out.
Yep.
But the bottom line is this. I had an epiphany. And Jalen Hurts is going to be the first quarterback in history to win a Super Bowl like that. That's how strongly I feel about it.
What do you mean?
It.
Like, we're going to have an...
We're going back-to-back. I feel that.
Is he going to have an 0 for second half of the Super Bowl win?
This is probably going to be...
That would be amazing.
This is probably going to be one of the worst offenses to win the Super Bowl in a long time. Since that, we were talking about this morning, the Peyton Manning offense when he was with Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing people remember about that is the defense. Because I don't remember, like, I don't remember the Denver Broncos being offensively that bad, but I'm not in Denver. You know what I mean? So, you know, when you go back and you look at the numbers bear out what we were talking about earlier. But I feel like the way that this Eagles team is playing, who are you afraid of in the playoffs? Like, I would say the Rams are like there. The absolute toughest team that you're going to face when you talk about the number of points that they're going to score. I'll put Seattle in that boat too, but Seattle, not as worried about them as I would probably say I would be.
It's not about being worried about any particular team. It's the Eagles' offense that is the concern. Yeah. I mean, they, again, the Eagles have done this in nine games this year, and some of those teams aren't even that good.
Defense going
to
keep
it. The defense could take them to the Super Bowl. I absolutely believe that, but I don't feel any stronger today they're going to win the Super Bowl because they beat the Bills. They had less than 200 yards offense. They didn't complete a pass in the second half. It's the same game we've seen all year.
You know what this is? I'm going to give you an analogy.
Okay.
This is what this is. Like, you know, you got a nice little car collection at your house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you like to, like, say, because shout out to my man Fletcher Cox. I think he was the rookie of the year in drag racing. I saw that somewhere. He was the rookie of the year this year. He's going to a banquet. Or he already went to the banquet. He's like in drag racing. He's the rookie of the year. He had a good year. But the bottom line is this. You have, say you have a Lamborghini Gallardo sitting in your yard, right? Beautiful car. You know, looks great. A lot of money. High dollar vehicle. But you have that Mustang 5.0 that you've put a couple dollars in, you know, that you've changed the air filters, you've changed the flow masses, you've changed the pulleys. Like, you know, you got that thing running. That's your defense. That Mustang is your defense. That's outperforming your supercar.
Yeah, I mean, they've carried the team for 2 years.
So that's what this is going to be. Like, if you can keep this defense healthy and salty, I see a path to us going to California.
Santa Clara, yeah. I do, too. I mean, I'm with you on that.
I'm going to wine country.
But I saw the same path before yesterday. How many bottles we getting?
We're going to get a couple.
Yeah, okay. All right.
We're going to get some expensive bottles. We're going to get like two.
215-592-9494. Only two bottles? All the way to Santa Clara? Only two bottles?
It's $100. We're going to get some $100 bottles, though.
If we're going to Santa Clara, we got to get more than two bottles of wine.
Four.
All right, I was thinking eight, but that's fine. 215-592.
They're going to be like $100 a piece.
But how often do you get out there? That's the point. You got to get the good
wine.
We
got to get Ken to show us where to get some good wine.
Oh, he will. All right, did yesterday change how you feel about this team's chance to win the Super Bowl? It did for you. It didn't change anything for me. I mean, the Eagles, to me, have the same chance they did before yesterday, which is they have a real chance. This defense is special. Fangio is special. But the offense plays a half a game against good teams. I mean, that's going to be why every playoff game is going to be tight. Let's hear from Nick Sirianni. Ask after the game about, you know, kind of the game it was and how he feels. Here's Sirianni.
You got to give yourself points when you win football games. There's always things to clean up when you come out of a football game. But if you come out of a football game where you win on the road again in a hostile environment, man, they got really good fans. Against a really good football team that's had the sustained success that we have. Like, if you come out of this and you're just thinking about all the negative things that happen, that makes for a miserable existence.
What are you talking
about?
We'll
get there. We'll get to what we need to clean up. And, probably, you know, really good first half by the offense, not a great second half, and a lot of different reasons why. I'm never gonna. Winning's hard in this league, and I'm always gonna enjoy a win. And then I'm going to be really hypercritical on myself first and foremost, and then the rest of the guys after that, and the coaches. So you feel great.
Well, I mean, he's got to say that. I mean, that was a hard fought win over a good football team. They should be excited. We'll see if they play this coming Sunday. It could be the last time his starters are on the field until the playoffs. So I'm totally fine with Sirianni pushing the positives that they won and they got out of there with a victory and all that because he's the head coach of the football team and they won again yesterday. But it's the same game. I feel like they are all deja vu. The games this year that they've won, again, there's been nine games that have looked just like yesterday. They've won six. They've lost three. The hope now is they got to win four in a row starting 2 weeks from now. 215-592-9494. Did yesterday change how you feel about this team's chances to go win
back
the Super Bowl? Go back to back.
Back to back.
And send us to Santa Clara. Kyle, how you feeling after the Eagles go to Buffalo and they come home with a 13-12 win?
So I'm totally with you on the offense thing. Like, nothing changed about how I feel about the offense. It just is what it is at this point. It's been 17 weeks of the same inconsistent crap where they go entire stretches of games without completing a pass, scoring, and, you know, and they put the defense in a bad position. But, but man, I think what I realized yesterday is that when you look at this playoff field, the Eagles offense does have an advantage over all the rest of these teams. And that's that they don't have to play against this Eagles defense.
Yep.
The defense is so good. They're fast. They're young. They hit. And they just look like they keep getting better and better. So it is what it is with the offense. They're probably going to, you know, it feels crazy to say, but if they can get 21 points a game, 23 in the postseason,
coming around to
they
it.
Could do it. They could.
You hear.
Why not? Like, I don't see a team that like I think is super scary, like a total juggernaut. Like, how the hell are we going to beat that team? Mm-hmm. And I feel like that works to the Eagles' advantage in the postseason. They're experienced, well, they're young, and like, why not?
Let me give you both sides of why what I think is going to happen in the playoffs. Hugh, they're probably not going to face a quarterback better than the guy they faced yesterday, right? I mean, Stafford's having an incredible season, mm-hmm. so it may be him. But like, they're probably not going to face a quarterback better than Josh Allen. They held him to 12 points, right? So whatever you think of Stafford or the Seahawks or the 49ers, obviously on a heater right now, none of them have a better quarterback than Josh Allen. So the Eagles defense is capable of holding a great quarterback to 12 points. That gives them a chance to win literally every football game they play. That's the part where I think there is feeling of excitement. There's also the other side, as Kyle said, well, you know, they only need to get to about 21 and they could hold. They lost to the Cowboys doing this, right? Mm-hmm. They got up 21-0. They didn't score again, and they lost to the Cowboys doing the same stuff that they did yesterday. So, like, to me, every game is the same in that they are capable of beating anyone. Their defense is capable of shutting anyone down for a long period of time. Anyone. And I mean Allen, Dak. They could do it to Stafford, too. They kind of did it in that game here in Philadelphia for a while, you know, in September. But they also just don't score for such long stretch. I mean, they kept giving the ball back to Buffalo in the second half on the 50-yard line over and over and
that's
over.
That's a lot to ask from your defense.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a lot to ask.
I don't know how those guys do it.
Yeah. I mean, they're salty. They play salty. But if we do lose, I mean, and it's always a possibility, you know how it's going to be. It's going to be because we didn't score enough points.
Of course it is. Yeah, I mean,
but Captain Obvious over here, that's how you always lose.
Well, no, but sometimes it's the defense.
But yeah. It's going to be one of those things where the offense is going to sputter at the worst time. Most teams that I feel like we play against, they try to keep it close so that they can try to pull it out at the end. You're gonna always have to be ahead of the game. And what I mean by that is if you're going to want to win this Super Bowl, you're going to always have to be playing with a lead.
Yeah.
I don't see – this team is not equipped to come back from behind.
Man, I'll tell you, this defense, though. I mean, it is – that was a remarkable effort yesterday. Sometimes I'm watching this Eagles defense, it feels like they have 12 players on the field. That's how they swarm to the football. Anytime someone catches the ball yesterday, there's a guy right there ready to tackle him. Tremendous job. 215-592-9494. Juice in South Philly starts us off. Good morning, Juice.
What's up, Joe?
Hey, Juice.
What's up, Kyle? All right. So
it's
real
different
quick.
Energy for
one,
you.
I called Joe. You and I have a little bit of a discrepancy we need to take care of.
Okay.
All right.
Let's do that. I don't know what it is. I'm excited to hear about it.
What do you think the reason that the Buffalo Bills lost that game was?
Uh-oh, the Eagles. The Eagles defense.
Tell him, dog, dang, what he trying to hear. Yeah. He's trying to hear something else.
It was Josh Allen.
Don't tell
he fumbled the touchdown. Then if Jalen Hurts would have missed that pass that he missed in the two-point conversion when he wasn't getting touched and he threw it three feet short, we'd be crucifying him right now. Superman came up small. And here's one thing that I have to say about Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. Our offense is what it is. We lose. I mean, we win, but we win ugly. When we lose, everybody wants to crucify us. But it don't look no different. Every week it's the same thing.
I agree with that,
so
yeah.
Here's what I'm saying. When you win a game in the middle of December, in Buffalo, in the rain, on a playoff push, with a team that needs to win the game for playoff seeding, they're now the 17th, mm-hmm. you take that win and you'd be happy with it.
Happy.
Let me ask you this question. What about Devontae Smith with a ball going right through his hands? Does that count? What about when they were hugging AJ's arm and he tried to catch it one hand, but we didn't get the call on that? We can't blame Jalen for everything.
Juice, what did I say about Jalen to start the show?
He's just making sure you don't say nothing about Jalen, Joe. You know how reckless you get with your speculation.
The narrative that we usually, right? So I'm more on Josh Allen right now, though. I want you to hear this.
He's on Josh Allen right now.
Jalen Hurts. Here's one thing we know about Jalen Hurts, and we need to start giving him his flowers. Mm-hmm. Not 20 years from now.
I mean, Juice, hold on. He literally had zero completions in the second half. It completed less than 50% of his passes. Is today the day for the flowers? Today?
Yes. Now is not the time.
So listen.
Be the negative Nancy.
He won the game, Joe.
Yep. Oh, God.
So here's what I'm saying.
Dragged him.
Oh, God.
Next week, or 2 weeks from now, and he wins a game 6-0, and they don't score in the second half, are you going to say it's Jalen's fault that they won the game?
I'm going to say the truth. Why is the truth so hard, Juice? The Eagles' defense wins the game.
Ain't nobody trying to hit that.
Juice. You asked why they won, because Jalen Carter blocked that extra point. Juice, if he doesn't block that extra point, they lose.
Get at him. Get him, Juice. I'm mad at him too.
Let me make this point to you.
Yes.
So, Josh Allen, good quarterback. Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Pat Mahomes, they all have more talent. But what makes someone better? I mean, so when you play a game, the object of any game, from checkers to football, is to win the game.
Sure, and right? if you and I are playing checkers, it's one-on-one. Football is not one-on-one. I don't know what... Like, we are smarter than this. Juice, I love you, man. We're smarter than this as football fans. Like, two years ago when the Eagles played the Bills, right? You can make the case that day Jalen outplayed Josh Allen. Jalen had a big day.
He did.
And he walked off a touchdown in overtime. And what did he do? Like,
ain't that what y'all want
to
see?
Yeah, and they were wearing the Kelly greens. He played a big second half. All right, like that day he got the best of him. You know, mano a mano, they both threw the ball a lot. There was a high-scoring game. I got you on that one. That was a big day for Jalen. I loved the way he played at the end of that game. Yesterday's not that day.
It feels a little bit desperate.
It does. Like, what? Again, I didn't come on here today and say, Jalen Hurts, man, he was terrible.
They stopped you before you got a chance.
I mean, guys,
they are begging you to say something nice about this guy.
All I said for the last 15 minutes was their defense amazing. Also, when it comes to the Allen thing, do you guys, maybe I think we're seeing this the wrong way. Instead of saying, oh, we watched the Eagles against the Bills. Josh Allen's not that good. Instead of saying the Eagles played the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes isn't that good. How about saying our defense is amazing? That's not the story
today.
But that
Joe.
Is the story. I mean, that's the story.
That's not the story today, Joe.
That is absolutely the story.
It's 1,000,000%
the story. It's the story.
No, it's not.
The Eagles' defense isn't the story?
That's kind of disrespectful.
No, I just think it's funny that nobody mentioned James. Well, I guess I did. But then
you threw him under the bus with that bringing up that
bus.
Stat.
You called for the stat.
I didn't. No, that stat.
That's
a fact.
All stats are facts.
So why you can't get mad at me about stating a fact?
Well, because he's all sensitive about Jalen. Yeah,
and he said he all sensitive.
I mean, it completed 48% of his passes yesterday. Come on,
and I saw yesterday. There's a path to win the Super Bowl. Jalen, like, listen, man, Jalen's a unicorn. There's no question about that. I'm convinced. You know, when you talk about the games that he's won this year, when they rolled that stat, I'm like, man, there is not another quarterback in this modern NFL that has that stat line and has the winning percentage that he has.
Yeah, what do you think that means?
I mean, he the quarterback.
Well, it means the team
is great. We could parse that. We could have that conversation all day long. But the bottom line is, he's the guy with the keys to the Ferrari or the Lamborghini, whatever you want to call it. Yep. He's the guy with the keys.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Cheeky's and Pete's in South Philly. Jordan Mailata show at 6, Players Lounge at 7, as your 2:30 Tupac. Of course, there's 3:30 Country, 4:30 90s, 5:30 Creed.
I can't wait for 3:30 Country today.
Oh,
you're going to hate it.
Oh, wow, what a sell.
You're going to hate it. Me and Justin in Tennessee were cooking this one up.
Oh, I bet.
We always ask, is Spike going to like this one or hate this one?
You have a good temperature reading on whether I'm going to like it or hate it now, right?
Yeah, 100%. You're going to hate it.
Okay, great. Tune in. At 3:30, for 30 seconds of a song that I'm going to hate. That is the show. Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
The Twitter quest is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Dreaming of another chip? Make her feel like a world champion every day with a custom diamond ring from Mark's Jewelers. Online at marks-jewelers.com. Which describes how you feel more today? Happy with the win or annoyed with the offense? Ike, what do you think the poll is at? What do you feel more today? Happy with the win or annoyed at the offense?
Oh, listen, we are an ever-evolving fan base.
We are.
And I think the fans realize we are in a pivotal point in the season.
Yes.
We got to take the wins how we can get them.
Okay.
So I think more people are satisfied with the win than are complaining about the offense, although not overwhelmingly. So let's go with, since 58 had a big game yesterday, let's go with 58%.
How about 51% happy with the win, 49%.
Okay. A little closer than I thought.
Annoyed with the offense, yeah. That is close. That's a close one. Yeah. We will get to Nick Sirianni's comments after the game, which were something else. After we talked to Louie Nebraska. Louie, you're on WIP. What's up, Lou?
We got Louie in Denver or Louie Nebraska?
Only Louis. Only Louie's today.
What's up, fellas? Merry Christmas. Happy New Year,
Chief. Merry Christmas.
What's up, Louie?
Listen, I'm more excited about the win. See, you have to understand that is not going to be pretty. This season isn't pretty, right?
That's
we have high expectations because we played so well last season. But just because you shot 65 yesterday doesn't mean you're going to shoot 65 today. I'm sorry, though.
That's right, Louie.
This is how it's going to
be. I have no idea what that feels like.
Well, we're going to get you. Well, you're going to see it in April, so we need to talk, me, you, and Fritz. You know what I mean? I'm trying to get you guys a day off.
Yeah,
you know
big.
I mean? So here we go. Big talking Lou.
Big talk from Lou.
Yeah. Oh, I thought we were going to go to Augusta.
Trip to Augusta.
Me. I'm a big dog. Yep. Yeah.
Guys, so we'll talk about that off air. But listen, guys, listen to me. The defense really struggled before the bye, right? They've given up, you know, a lot of points before the bye. Now they have four games under 12 points. You have to be excited about that. Am I concerned about the offense? Yeah, but we've also had a high-powering offense before the bye as well. So it's just a tale of two halves. So the only thing I'm concerned about is our offensive line. I mean,
you say we had a high-powered offense.
High-powered offense? What are you talking about, Luke? Yeah.
Hey, Spike.
You're in a parallel dimension? Louis, put it this way. Let's put it this way. I'm no longer like, I'm past the point of being, hey, look at it, I'm mad about it, hey, look at it. I want them to win the Super Bowl. I'm just being honest that when I look at it, I'm just like, I don't know how this isn't going to bite them. Maybe it won't. Like, you know, the Chiefs last year, figured out a way to get to the Super Bowl without having a very good offense. They just figured out a way. Maybe they figured out a way. I'm just being off, like, honest. I'm watching the defense. It gets me psyched. I'm watching the offense in that second half, and I'm just saying to myself, how is this possible, you know?
Yeah, listen, I understand that, but don't have recency bias, and just remember that we started this year off strong, scoring 24 points or more in our first five games. Now, I'm not saying that that's an issue, and we, like, okay, we don't have a high-powered offense right now, but we have the ability to do it, and that's what I am putting my hopes in when it comes to big-time football. You know, Josh Allen can't do it, okay? Joe Burrow can't do it. Jim Herbert can't do it. Come on, the gun player took down the slayer yesterday. Took him down.
Yeah.
Come on, man. And I'm not just saying he wins games, but in the higher...
Man, we usually do win games, though.
Yeah. It's impressive.
Can you say win games? Can you say we instead of he?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Well, especially
grow up a little.
Yeah,
bit.
I mean, like, let's come on. Game. Yeah.
See
what?
And you guys know I'm a Jalen guy.
Always.
You are.
But games like yesterday is another reason why I don't believe in QB win stats.
Except when you need it.
What are you talking about?
Except when
I can say a win is a win and he wins.
I agree.
Yes.
We agree.
But the QB win stat.
Yeah, you won't never hear me. You won't see me use the QB win stat. Have I used it?
No, I might have to break out some audio. Yeah. But you are largely not a QB win stat.
Yeah.
Largely.
Yeah.
Well, because of stuff like that.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, of course. They won the game. He didn't cost them the game.
But you can't say they won the game because of Jalen.
No,
yesterday.
Of course.
But he avoided sacks in the second half.
Hold on. They scored 13 in the first half.
He
man.
Did.
He
yeah.
did.
Again,
yeah. Yeah.
was prepared to come in here and say, you know, he does rise. He's a riser. But then the second half happened.
All right.
So well, who's the second half on?
I think it's Betulo.
It's all of them. It's just all of them.
I didn't see Jalen miss throws yesterday.
Well, I mean, he didn't complete any throws.
What I mean by these, I mean like wide open throws.
Yeah, I think
it's a good point. He did not complete.
He
the
didn't
pass
complete.
In the
and he also
half.
Didn't. He didn't run the ball in the second half. Either.
He did not run the ball he in didn't the run second the ball. Half.
So, and neither did Joshy.
Well, here's this is the what he did. Josh
barely.
Did,
I know.
Well, there was the one run that got him to the goal line.
Yeah, it's like he was
through a couple there. Yeah. Yes, yeah. he was. Joshy. Yeah.
It was a shame to see that from Joshy.
Yeah. All right. So speaking of whose issue it is. Good time to talk about Sirianni.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So the first thing, this isn't an audio thing, but I think it speaks to some of the things he said afterwards. Sirianni's running off walking off the field, and he's screaming, I don't hear anybody saying anything right now. I don't hear anybody saying anything right now. They're not saying blank. They're not saying blank. I guess, I don't know if he's talking about the Bills fans or who it is. A.J. Brown sort of looks at him almost like the people in the office looked at Michael Scott. I know you've never watched The Office, but that was right. sort of the feeling.
It's pretty good account.
Yeah. He also walked past the locker room and had to turn around, which was also a bit of an awkward moment. Yeah. So he gets – it reminded me of the yelling at the Chiefs fans in 23 a little bit.
Yep.
He gets fired up. It's part of his nature. But then, so he said a couple of things afterwards that I thought were interesting. The first thing is he was talking about people, I guess, not being happy with the win. This is what he said.
You got to give yourself points when you win football games. There's always things to clean up when you come out of a football game. But if you come out of a football game where you win on the road again in a hostile environment, man, they got really good fans. Against a really good football team that's had the sustained success that we have. Like if you come out of this and you have and you're just thinking about all the negative things that happen, that makes for a miserable existence. We'll get there. We'll get to what we need to clean up. And you know, really good first half by the offense, not a great second half, and a lot of different reasons why. I'm never gonna. Winning's hard in this league, and I'm always going to enjoy a win. And then I'm going to be really hypercritical on myself first and foremost, and then the rest of the guys after that, and the coaches. So yeah, you feel great.
Yeah, I had no problem with it. I thought, now this is not the going up the tunnel part of it. I just that I can deal without.
Yes
I can deal without the high school thing.
Yes,
and by the way. I don't believe he's talking to Bills fans.
Oh, you think?
I think he's talking to naysayers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, naysayers.
Yeah.
That may have been critical about who they had beaten.
Yeah.
The previous couple of weeks versus going up there and what they did yesterday.
Yeah.
So, I don't think he was talking about Bills fans. Because there was no animosity going into that game from Buffalo. Like, they got their own things they're dealing with. They're not worried about us. It's an AFC-NFC crossover matchup.
I actually think Bills fans and Eagles fans kind of like
each
other.
They are kind of like each other.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So I don't think that's what he was talking about. Now, to what he said at the podium, I completely agree with him. And I hope he got that message across to his players. Because this wasn't the case a couple of months ago when they were sitting. I know I sound like a broken record, but when they were sitting at 8-2, and we were complaining about how the wins looked. And everybody, and even by Saquon's own words, the atmosphere on the sideline, at least on the offensive side of the sideline, what did he say? Was terrible? I forgot.
Saquon said the actual
whether
words. Whether it was awful
Saquon
or terrible or something like that. Yeah.
Yes. So that lets you know that they weren't enjoying the winning aspect of it. Yes, you want to play better, and you always hold yourself to a high standard. But winning is hard, and going on the road and winning a game like that is something that you should take joy in, right? Like, it is so difficult in this league to win that if you start to take winning for granted, eventually you won't be winning.
Especially on the road in Buffalo.
Yes. So I completely agree with everything he said there, and I hope the players take that to heart. At least the messaging coming out, listening to the players and some of the post-game interviews, It wasn't hypercritical of themselves and how they played. It was at least somewhat satisfaction from them that they got a win on the road against a tough opponent who they actually could see in San Francisco
in about
a month.
Yeah, I think, you know, even thinking back to, was it the Cleveland game that he brought his kids up?
Yeah.
And he seems so excited with a win. He doesn't understand how other people don't feel the same way.
Right.
And I think it's probably twofold. One, it's just his natural reaction to it. Two, he's probably frustrated that the team doesn't feel the same way. Because I think when he brought his kids up to the podium after the Cleveland game, he was just thinking to himself, we won the game. Isn't everybody happy?
It's a good win.
And he was surprised that everybody wasn't happy.
Right.
So then, all right, so the only parallel I want to draw from the tunnel thing to something he said after was, I think sometimes when he gets very excited with a win, he's done a very good job of talking after games, of being pretty concise and not saying something that he shouldn't. he's evolved in a big way.
I agree.
But he did say something about the offense afterwards that kind of felt like Nick was really excited and not really thinking about everything he said. Here's what he said.
In the process of doing a better job, you were talking about how you have to get more involved. Does that happen in real time when the play is called by Kevin, or do you go back to him at the bench and say, hey, we could do this, we could do that?
Yeah, it's hard in real time, Sal, because, you know, if there's a play called and then I say to myself, right there in that scenario, like, then you're going to get low on the play clock. So it's got to be better communication from me. I'm saying Kevin did a great job, especially in that first half. I just need to do a better job there in the second half. Like, again, everything that is on that field has my name on it, not nobody else. So I had to do a better job there. And so it's tough in real time, Sal. It's got to be something that's done a little bit more by me in between series. And that's always a challenge because you're managing the game, you're looking at different things, you're trying to make sure you're looking at things. But I have to do it. I've done that before, so I need to do a better job in that stuff.
So I think what he's trying to do is take the blame, but what he's actually doing, I think, by saying something like that, is you sort of make it seem like Kevin Petullo can't handle it, like by saying, I got to go in and change the play call when it's not good.
Right.
Or I got to talk to Kevin. I got to go do that more.
Yeah.
It was almost like, now he also said something there that I thought was interesting too. Everything out there has my name on it. And I think at some point this year, it was probably when he started becoming more involved in the meetings, he was saying to himself, hey, look, this guy was my pick. If he goes down, this looks bad on me. I got to make sure that this looks good because my name's on it. But I think in trying to take the blame for Petullo, I think he sort of undercuts him a little bit by saying, you know, I got to get in there and make sure we're we're calling different plays. You know?
I see what you're saying. I don't think that was his intention.
I don't think that was his intent either.
Right, but I can see where, someone can take that and be like, well, hold on. Is he the OC or not?
You said he was calling all the plays.
Yes.
So is he not calling all the plays? Yes. Is he
capable of doing this job?
Right, right.
And it's one thing if he's trying to say, if there's a play that I think we could have run that was different, then I need to say something as opposed to not saying something.
Sure, yes.
I'm thinking that's what he's trying to say. Like, if I got a suggestion, maybe I need to be a little more authoritative with that. But I don't want to step on my guy's toes. I don't know. I it was a little clunky. It was.
I
think he had well intentioned, but like you said, somebody hears that and they can take that a totally different way.
Yeah, that's how I took it both ways. I took it him trying to take blame, but also in trying to take blame, saying like, well, wait a minute, is it? Who's doing this and who's not doing it? And also, I start to think he's like, it gets busy. I don't have time to talk to Kevin before. I'm thinking, well, what are you? I don't know. What are you busy with?
What are you busy doing? Well, he's paying attention to other things.
Well, you're not telling Fangio what to do, right? I don't know. Aside from talking to your coordinators, and certainly no Vic Fangio is not taking your advice.
You're saying he does have time.
Yeah, my guess would be, unless he's reading books or something on the sideline. All right.
What if that came out?
Did you see that he was also reading books?
Reading books?
Yeah. 215-592-9494. Richard in Springfield. You're on WIP. What's up, Richard?
Hey, fellas. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year's.
What's up, Richard?
I believe they need to get Barkley to the outside, but they got to do the old key fires. Running back option. All defensive backs are coming up so fast. He throws one of them pitches out to Goddard. They can't come flying up on him, and he'll be able to get through right or left, however you just want to do it. He's having his problems because they're all keying on him. And Hurts, as they're doing it these last couple weeks, they need to roll that pocket out. When they roll that pocket out, you see how nice he gets that ball out? He's got time. He can't stand back in that pocket. They just attack him. And they're my 2 points.
So, I'm sorry, the first one is you want more read option? Is that what you're saying you want? Or you want to use a fullback?
Running back option. The way Keith Byers used to throw it to Keith Jackson.
Oh, yes, Mike. Oh, come on, man. You want Saquon to throw the ball?
What, he's not talented enough? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm telling you.
A halfback pass.
Yeah, how many times do you want to Saquon to throw the ball?
One time, all it'll take.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah, halfback pass. Listen, we used to have a halfback pass in the offense. Westbrook threw a touchdown, I believe, in a halfback pass.
Yeah, you want to use – it's a trick play, but I don't know that it would
– be a staple in offense.
No.
Although Keith Byers threw a lot of touchdown passes as a halfback.
He did. But it was 40 years ago.
I want to steal that play the Bills ran at the end of the game.
The hook and ladder?
The hook and ladder?
They did it last night, too.
I know.
Yeah, they did it. The Bears did it, too. Yeah. Thank you for the call.
Take that play.
Hook and ladder? Yeah. It just works.
They called it at the right time, too.
Yeah.
They did the Texans game.
He threw that ball short of the sticks. I was like, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
And then here comes the 26 running around the corner.
Yep. Yeah, it was pretty great play call. Pretty great play call. Yeah, because it was fourth down, right?
That's why I thought we were going to lose. Yeah, it was fourth down.
It was fourth down. I thought the same thing. I was like, why are you throwing it 6 yards?
I called it right.
As far as keying in on Saquon, the running game issue is there are a few issues. Mm-hmm. The biggest one is the offensive line. They're just not playing well this year. They don't get very much push. Saquon gets hit before the line of scrimmage too often or at the line of scrimmage too often. Biggest one.
Man, he had a couple of nice runs up that middle where I was like, oh, there he is.
Yes.
Like, oh, there he is. Because I'm used to seeing him hit the edge or what have you. But when he starts running in the middle and making guys miss, man, I thought they were going to have a big day yesterday.
Yeah.
And they did.
Now, we didn't see really any Jalen running yesterday, which I think does help.
I don't think
Saquon.
I saw any. Did we see any?
I think he had officially had 3 rushes, but maybe he was just escaping.
Right. I think that's what it was.
It was a pass. He ran to the sideline, got a yard or two. But
and then the tush push is one of those rushes.
Did we tush push?
Yeah, out the end zone.
Oh, we did. Right. When we were at our own one.
Yeah.
Right. you know, we had two of our, I think, better running games of the year the last two games against the Raiders and against the Commanders. And Jalen ran, I think, seven times and eight times in those two. And I think it'll make it, it's going to have to happen in the playoffs. We're not going to see it this week, most likely. We didn't see it yesterday. I think it's going to have to happen in the playoffs. If they're going to win playoff games, the running part of his game is going to have to be there. And they will have successfully manage through the regular season with that not being there, but it makes a big difference.
The postseason is when you really bring it out.
Yes. Yeah, they have to.
I agree. Hell, you got all offseason to get healthy.
Yes.
it's time to win. Yeah. It's time to go to the Super Bowl now. Don't you feel it?
Yeah, what are you thinking, Jack?
A little bit, what?
What do you think? You've been saying the run is coming.
Yeah.
Do you think the run's coming or no?
I think they're going to be a tough out. I don't feel how I felt last year, where it's like I thought they were so relentless because they could run the ball on you. But I also think they're a really tough out because I think that they're just a winning football team. So I don't feel as like they're a lock to win the Super Bowl.
Confident, yeah.
Like I don't feel that way, but I also would be surprised to see them getting knocked off.
I would agree with Elliot in this context. He does overstate the importance of turnovers. But I do think they're sort of in the spot where if Jalen were to throw a pick six or something,
turnover and a touchdown?
It could bury them.
Yeah.
A play like that could bury them, you know? And in him taking an incompletion or something and just not turning it over, I think the way that they're playing this year, it just might have to be the way that they do it.
Yeah. Remember that hater Troy Aikman on Monday night?
Yeah.
He was ripping Jalen?
Yeah.
I didn't hear Tom Brady doing any of that.
No.
That's a winner.
He was complimenting.
He knows what a winner is.
Did you hear how much he was complimenting the play design?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like a little birdie.
It's always a birdie, yes.
Yeah.
It's always a birdie.
He's like, play design, leather gloves, leather gloves, play design, leather gloves. You know, I think
Brady likes Jalen.
He does.
He does.
Yeah, sees a lot of himself in Jalen.
He
Really?
Does he?
Maybe.
The winning aspect.
The winning aspect.
Yeah.
He's talking about the composure and not taking the sacks.
Yeah.
And avoiding it. Yeah.
He was very locked in on leather gloves versus plastic gloves.
Plastic gloves.
Yesterday. He talked about it for two full quarters.
The Devontae, whatever, drop or whatever. So those plastic gloves?
Yeah, he said it about Buffalo, too.
Because
there were a couple of passes. The Devontae catch? Yeah.
That was a catch.
It was moving.
It should have been.
So what? It was moving. He had his hand under the ball.
It should have been whatever they called it. It should have been whatever they called it. If they called it incomplete, I don't think they should have made it a completion. If they called it complete, they shouldn't have made it an incomplete.
And then they call it complete?
They call it complete.
Okay,
I think.
Especially when they gave the other guy a catch.
To me, watching the.
There were some calls to let the Bills back in that game.
Watching the replay, like. You could see it either way. So they should have just left
it. Just stayed with the call on the field. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. I also don't think that Josh Allen fumble was a fumble. Just saying. I don't think it was. The ball doesn't go 15 yards the other way if he's not throwing it forward.
Yeah, I hear you. And I understand that stupid rule, definition of that rule they're trying to implicate there. But he clearly wasn't throwing the ball. The ball really slipped out of his hand.
I thought he was throwing it, though. He was throwing it down.
I thought it slipped out of his hand.
It slipped out of his hand, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's why I said it was a fumble.
Okay, got it.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.